Okay, so it's not too hard to figure out the theme of the second reading and the gospel. It's only mentioned, I think I counted it 19 times. What is that word? Love. Okay, and so this is written, both the second reading, the epistle, and the gospel, by the beloved disciple. I was reading St. Faustina's diary this morning, and I did a search. Just the word love, not even loves or loved or beloved, is mentioned 1,000 times in the diary. Just the word love. It's unbelievable. And it's the most powerful way to describe God. Now, we've been doing these live streams for 4 years now. It's amazing, actually, to think about. And I want to go back to my very first ever live stream talk 4 years ago, because I really tried to detail it then. And I've mentioned parts of it since then, but I feel this is the time with these readings to rehash this, because it's so important. Back then, I made the point that, you know, there's the three world's great religions, or great meaning the number of people who belong to them, is Christianity, Islam, and Judaism. But only in Christianity do we believe God is a Trinity. Islam does not believe God is a Trinity. They will kill in order to defend that false belief that he is not a Trinity. The Jews do not believe God is a Trinity. That's why they believed Christ was not the Son of God. But as St. Augustine says, I can prove to you right now that God has to be a Trinity. It's very easy. God has to be a Trinity. Can't not be a, not a Trinity. Because why? What one word best describes God? We just said it. Love. Now, as I said back 4 years ago, in order to have love, this is interesting, because if I was the only person who ever existed, none of you ever existed, only I existed, can there be love? No. Because in order to have love, you need a community of persons. Now, this is what's so interesting, because that's what the Trinity is. In order to have love, you need a lover, the beloved, and the love between them. And that's who the Trinity is. You have God the Father, the lover. God the Son is the beloved. And the love between them is so great that from it comes a third person, the Holy Spirit. That's all the Holy Spirit is the love between the Father and the Son. And I pointed out since then many times that that's why the family is a mirror of the Trinity. And this is why Satan hates the family and is trying to destroy two things in our culture. The two things that Satan absolutely is determined to try to destroy, notice I say try, but the Satanists all tell us this, is the family and the church. The family and the church, the bedrocks of society. Now, the family is a mirror of the Trinity, because you have the husband, the father. He's the lover. He's the one who gives that love in the seed. He's the lover. Then you have the wife, the mother, the beloved. She's the beloved because she receives that love coming from the father. And from that love between them proceeds a third person, the child. So this is a mirror of the Trinity. As I always say, you've heard me say it 100 times, you cannot have that between two men. You cannot have that between two women. It can only be in that love that bears that fruit in that way. Does not mean two men can't love each other. Does not mean two women cannot love each other, but in a different way. Now, this means God is a community of persons. Okay, he is the lover, the father, the beloved, the son, and the love between them, the Holy Spirit. This is who God is. Now, why is that all based, or what is that all based on? Love. God is love. And we just heard it 19 times in this readings. 19 times. the word love. Now, love of all the virtues, and we have different levels of virtues. The Catholic Church teaches we have the cardinal virtues, things that you can establish or build on your own, temperance, justice, fortitude, prudence. But then there's something you get at baptism that is not from yourself, but only from God. They're called the theological virtues. What are the theological virtues? Faith, hope, and the greatest of these is love. All right, so love is the highest of virtues. If you stack all the virtues up, if you put all the virtues in order of importance, you have justice and prudence and fortitude, and you have faith and you have hope, but the highest of these is love. The highest virtue is love, and that's how you will be judged to get into heaven. Love. How you loved one another and how you received God's love. God's love is sent to you through his church. Did you receive it? God's love is given to you through the sacraments. Did you receive it? Now, did you give love? Were you Christ-like when you dealt with other people? So now, love is the highest virtue. All right, what is love? Love is willing the good of the other, that I wish them good. That's why people who are sinning with other people say, well, it's because I love them. I want to be with them. No, you're actually doing the opposite of love. Love is willing the good of the other. So if you're contributing to the downfall of another through sex or drugs or atheism, you're not loving them. You're doing the opposite. Love is willing the good of the other. Now, is all love the same? Everybody?
No.
No. The Greeks used to tell us about three forms of love. They used to tell us about eros. What is that? That's romantic love, not the highest form. It's actually the lowest form. Eros is that romantic, that physical desire love. Then the Greeks talked to us or told us about filial love. That's like the love between a father and a son, okay? It's not sexual, and it's also not in the marital sense, but it is a love, nonetheless, very foundational, filial love. I have filial love for my brothers. My brothers, we have brotherhood, we have filial love. But the highest form of love that the Greeks talk about is what? Agape. Agape love is the highest love that we just read in the scriptures. No greater love hath a man than to what? Lay down his life for the other. That is agape love. Agape love is so high that you're willing to give your life for someone. Now, to be willing and to actually do it are two different things, okay? Now, these three forms of love, agape being the highest, giving your life for the other, when that is put into action, you have mercy. Mercy is actually putting into action that highest form of the highest virtue. You have all these virtues, prudence, justice, fortitude, faith, hope. The highest is love. And within love, you have many levels of love, eros and filial love. The highest form is agape. And when that highest form of the highest virtue is put into action, you have mercy. Mercy is the highest form of the highest virtue. You can't do better than to be merciful. It's not just loving. I could love ice cream, or as you always hear me say, Michigan football. Okay? I can do that. But when that highest form of love is put into action, you have mercy. Mercy is the highest form of the highest virtue. You can't do better. And this is what mercy is. How? What do I mean, Father, put it into action? Okay, the definition of mercy is when love encounters suffering, it takes action to do something about it. It doesn't just sit there and say, you know, that's really too bad. I'll pray for you. Well, that's good that you pray, but what else can we do? I always contemplate this because this is why I always say I'm a Marian. Because of divine mercy and Mary, the Immaculate Conception is the key to everything. And all of that wrapped into the Holy Spirit. This is why I'm a Marian. So God now, if mercy is when love encounters suffering and it takes action to do something about it, that's how you can be merciful. When you see the suffering of another, you take action to do something about it. You've hit the highest form of the highest virtue. Well, then what is divine mercy? When God saw our suffering after the fall and did something about it. That's divine mercy. Father Seraphim used to teach, divine mercy is loving the unlovable and forgiving the unforgivable. That's exactly what God did with us. He loves us although we are unlovable. He forgives us although we are unforgivable. I just heard a couple of confessions this morning, and that point came up. I feel unlovable. We are unlovable. But that's what God's mercy is loving the unlovable and forgiving the unforgivable. That's exactly what we are. So God's divine mercy is when the love between the Trinity, remember, let's go back to the beginning of this talk or this homily. Remember, God is a Trinity, a community of persons, and there's a perfect relation between the three, the perfect love between them. That love between the Trinity, when God decided that I'm going to pour that out, because that love for all eternity had been perfectly within the Trinity, when that love within the Trinity poured out of itself, you have divine mercy. Now, how did that love of the Trinity pour outside of itself? The three great acts of mercy. And you've heard me say this, but I think it all ties so beautifully, and so I'm going to remind you again. The three great acts of mercy. Father Seraphim used to drill this into my head at the dinner table. The first great act of mercy by the first person of the Trinity is what? Creation. That is what happened when the love of God poured outside of itself. That perfect love within the community of persons, love, 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 when it poured outside of itself, we have creation. The first great act of mercy attributed to the first person of the Trinity, creation. Then what happened? We got broken. Within minutes, we got broken. So in the second great act of mercy, the second person of the Trinity came down and redeemed us. Redemption, the second great act of mercy. Mankind was redeemed. However, we're not done. In the third and final and greatest act of mercy, as I always say, guess who? The Holy Spirit. God, in his infinite wisdom, doesn't let us die. He wants to sanctify us. The third great act of mercy, sanctification. This is what we have in these great acts of mercy. So I'll finish by saying, remember, God is this Trinity, all right? And our entire faith, as I've always taught, or not me, St. Thomas Aquinas teaches, is like a circle. Our entire faith is a circle. Everything comes from God. Everything will return to God. Exitus, reditus. All comes from God. All will return to God. All came from God in creation. So here we have the Trinity. And the first great act of mercy, creation. All came from God. Then we got broken. So what did God do in the second great act of mercy? He sent his Son to redeem us, to fix us, to repair us, to re-bring us back to God the Father. So we've been redeemed. But are we guaranteed saved? No, we have to be sanctified. So now, in the third and final and greatest act of mercy, the Holy Spirit is not done. God the Father in creation, work is done. He's created us. You've been created. I know creation continued changes, but his work is done. God the Son came to earth, redeemed us on the cross, said what? It is finished. And now, next Thursday, he will ascend back to the Father. His work, in that sense, is done. Now, he's left us, his sense, himself in the Eucharist, so he's still with us. But it is the Holy Spirit who is the key to everything, because his work is not done. Sanctification. And in that, he has to make us holy so that we can be brought back to God the Father, from which we came, but now fixed, repaired, redeemed. It's the whole Trinity. God the Father created us. God the Son redeemed us. God the Holy Spirit will sanctify us. And as I always said, where does this happen? My catechism class used to always say, at your baptism. That's a great guess. The others would say, when we die, at the beatific vision. Another great guess. But where does it happen? Every minute of every day, somewhere around the world. The Mass. At this Mass. Because all of creation, the first great act of mercy, is present at the Mass, even if they're not in the pew. All of creation is here at the Mass. The second thing is redemption, second great act of mercy. What are we doing at the Mass? Where are we at the Mass? Calvary. You are here as Jesus is paying your debt to sin. You are there as Christ is being. We're not re-crucifying Christ. We're here at Calvary as he is paying the one-time debt to sin. We are here as witnesses of Calvary at our own redemption. That is here at the Mass. But then, the biggest part of the Mass, the highest point of the Mass, is not consecration. Yes, nothing happens without consecration, and nothing happens without receiving Holy Communion. But what is it that happens at the Mass? At the concluding doxology, when the priest raises the paten and the chalice and says, through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. What's happening? We all came from God the Father created. We're here at the Mass, whether we're present exactly or not, all of creation is here. Then we're at Calvary, we're being redeemed, but now, through the power of the Holy Spirit, at that moment of the concluding doxology, the Holy Spirit is taking us back to God the Father, from which we came, hopefully, guaranteed redeemed, but hopefully sanctified. Now, how do you be sanctified? Be open to the grace. Be praying. Be coming to the sacraments. Be reading Scripture. Be praying for God's mercy. Do the little acronym ACTS every morning: adoration, contrition, thanksgiving, supplication. Pray for yourself and your loved ones. You do this, you're open to the Holy Spirit. He comes in, he sanctifies you, and guess what? You come to Mass and you're being brought back to God the Father through the sacrifice of the Son, God offering God to God. The Mass is God offering God to God. God the Holy Spirit offering God the Son in sacrifice to God the Father in atonement for our sins and the sins of the whole world. You have everything in any way, shape, or form in its greatest infinite grace and mercy right here at this altar. Everything. And so the key is the whole Trinity, but especially right now, the Holy Spirit. And we have to let that Holy Spirit in. And that Holy Spirit is the gift that is going to sanctify us. But none of this is done without love. We have to receive God's love in his mercy, and we have to give God's love. This is my command. Love one another. And that's the whole key to all 19 times that love is mentioned in these readings. It's a great thing, and I'm sorry, I know this may be duplicate for some of you, but if only one person is hearing this for the first time, it's that important. This is the entire message of our faith in one circle. All comes from God, all returns to God. And God wants to bring you through the Holy Spirit by the sacrifice of the Son back to God the Father from which you came when you were created. And that all happens here at the Mass.
Are you a Marian helper? Join our Spiritual Benefit Society and start sharing in the graces of all the daily masses, prayers, and good works of Marian priests and brothers all over the world. Sign up is free and easy. Simply visit micprayers.org. That's micprayers.org. Thank you, and God bless you. Please follow or subscribe to this podcast to receive the latest episodes and updates. If you have been blessed by this podcast, I invite you to leave a review. Reviews greatly improve our podcast ranking and will help spread this podcast to other people throughout the world. Are you enjoying this podcast? I invite you to listen to more shows brought to you by the Marian Fathers of the Immaculate Conception. Join us daily for enriching spiritual content, which will help you on your journey with Jesus Christ. Simply visit DivineMercyPlus.org for a complete list of our shows. That's DivineMercyPlus.org. Are you a Marian helper? Join our Spiritual Benefit Society and start sharing in the graces of all the daily masses, prayers, and good works of Marian priests and brothers all over the world. Sign up is free and easy. Simply visit micprayers.org. That's micprayers.org. Thank you, and God bless you.